Hey, welcome to Radio Labyrinth Presents. It's our weekly half hour feature show. We have a couple of guests today. Returning to Atlanta, first and foremost, is Red Clay Comedy Festival. It is back on. For some reason, last year it was not held, and we don't know why. It's a mystery. A lot of things were canceled last year. We're just going to pretend that 2020 didn't exist. But November 4th through 6th, 2021, you can find out all the information at redclaycomedy.com. But we are joined by two people that we've spoken to many times in the past, people that I've known well for a long time, at least, not formally, but what's the opposite of formally? Doesn't matter. I can't think.
Informally?
I guess so. Gilbert Lamont and Michael Albanese. Guys, welcome. Thank you for being on.
Hey, thanks for having us, everybody.
Hello.
Michael is now officially the clearest voice, including the hosts, that we've ever had on Radio Labyrinth since we started doing it on Zoom.
Good job, hey, Mike.
Check me out, huh? Now we're cooking.
Another credit.
You doing a lot of voiceover work? Is that why you got that set up going?
You know, I bought it with the assumption that I could get more, but my God. I just sent in an audition to be a Lenny Bruce impersonator for a cartoon, so we'll see how that goes.
I feel like I can curse, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just started screaming. I just started screaming all the words I'm not supposed to say on radio.
Yeah. Words that you could say then you could say, and now you can't say again. So it's funny
exactly.
How.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And Gilbert rotates. Yes. Gilbert, you're based in Atlanta. And I believe I heard you on the beginning of a comedy album yesterday.
Was it Roy Scovels?
Yeah, yeah. Is that new or does he have two this year? I think one is completely improvised.
There's a documentary where he did these six improvised shows at Relapse Theater, mm-hmm. and that became a documentary that followed that along with the story of Relapse. But then they took like a lot of that footage and created an album from it. So it is the same, like some of the same. I mean, it all came from those shows, but the documentary only has like some snippets of the shows. But yeah, that's like my credits have yet to not have somebody else's name in them. So you might have heard this guy introducing somebody better than.
You might have heard your next comic hanging out with another comic.
Yes.
Yeah.
You might have. We saw you open for Norm Macdonald, I think.
Yeah.
I booked him. His agent was like, I've never had this request before. It was when I was booking the Atlanta Improv. He's like, don't pay him in cash, as if I was going to have $35,000 in a suitcase. And that, because they're like, he has a gambling problem. And I was like, that's pretty interesting because it's Atlanta. So I guess there is big stakes games going on somewhere every night. And of course they'd want Norm to like join the game. I was like, wow, he's got different vices.
Didn't it also say in his contract? I remember you showing me in big red letters. It said, "No cash. Also, do not write the check to his name. It has to be out to this corporation, so that he can't go to like a cash the check somewhere." Like under no circumstances do you hand Norm Macdonald any money in any form.
Yeah.
So what would happen if you give him that money that night? Like he would have been like on the phone with somebody. How quickly do you think he'd be like
gone
in a blackjack game and with 30 like down 30 he'd find a game. In Atlanta.
He'd find a game quickly. You know they go on and every city has them. So you know
I guess so.
And if you're a degenerate gambler, then you know where to find them quickly.
Me and Gilbert, a little behind the scenes, but of me and Gilbert, we used to live with a guy who used to run by like backdoor high stakes poker games with like judges, sheriffs, like all kinds of like high the people that should be enforcing the illegality of that used to run those games.
And in Georgia?
Oh yeah, in Atlanta, in the city.
And good for you for not. Did he ever tell you who was there, or did he just allude?
I mean, he alluded. Chris he could Cross. Have said names.
Chris
I would have known.
To be there a lot.
Yeah,
Chris Cross.
I was trying to think of somebody ridiculous from
that. So Gilbert, you know, my wife and I named our son after you.
Did you? What'd you name him?
His name is Gilbert. Gilbert Pratt Andrews. He was born in May. No, we didn't. But
Gilbert what? What's
Gilbert
your name?
Pratt. My wife's last name.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I've only met like a couple people named Gilbert. Like I've met a lot of people with last name Gilbert. We're going to call him Gil or Gilly or Gilbert?
We do Gil, Gilly, Gilbert, mostly Gil. Yeah, it's a great name. It's a.
Why did you name him that?
We were trying to think of names, and she said Gilbert. What do you think of that name? And I thought in the back of my head, oh, I really like Gilbert Gottfried a lot, and I also like that name. And I guess in the back of her head, she's like Anna Green Gables. So it just worked out.
Cool. Donald Trump Jr. was taken. So
he's still taken.
I did a show with Gilbert Gottfried at the Improv in Atlanta, and I was just doing a guest spot. And I was like, I met him and I said, I go, hey, I'm Gilbert, you know, whatever. And I go, there's one too many Gilberts on this show. And he goes, what? And I was like, nothing.
How is he to work with? Was he fun? Did he talk or was he just
nice, man? He's old. He was like, this is like 6 years ago and he's really old. Like I didn't realize how old he was. He's like, I think he was about pushing 70 6 years ago. And it was like more feet, like he had to have help getting on stage or whatever, but he still performed great. Yeah. Just like a little bit, like the host, like would introduce him and then somebody would kind of help him just get up and he was fine to walk, but it just needed that little bit of help. He has a lot of fans. I guess I shouldn't have been smart. He's been doing it forever and he's still a very sharp joke writer.
The podcast he does is quite funny.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. He and the co-host Frank Santopadre, they know just about everything. So, well, guys, we're here to really talk about anything, but to talk about Red Clay Comedy Festival returning to Atlanta. Now, this is the seventh or sixth?
This is the sixth festival, but the seventh year.
And obviously, it was too tough to pull off last year because
we tried.
Yeah,
we were hopeful in May. We were like, we think we could do this, and we started planning it. Then it was just like, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, we're like barely peeking our heads outside in our door and be like, I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
it's not.
I think we under and overestimated the people of Atlanta. We were like, oh, they don't care. Like, oh, shit, they care.
Like festivals are like the last thing people are like. If you're reluctant to be out, the festival is like the last thing that you'd want to kind of buy into. That's why we're doing the vaccine.
We just announced vax requirement or negative COVID test, just because there's so many different variations between the different venues and stuff like that, so we just kind of took a blanket.
Well, if Joe Rogan writes a note for you, then we'll
you
I bring my OPEC.
originally we had the festival scheduled for this weekend internally. This current weekend that we just are on.
Oh, and, really? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but then, like, the day after we internally decided that, Bill Burr announced, like, 42 shows in Atlanta. And so we're like, well, I guess we're not doing that. Like, that guy's going to sell 15,000 tickets this week.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, how many did he do?
He did two Cobb Energy, two Roxy, two Fox, I think.
Damn.
Jesus Christ, man. Like, that's crazy.
Anyway, you can not see Bill Burr November 4th through 6th at Red Clay Comedy Fest.
Tell us some of the people that are going to be there.
It's going to be fun, man. We've got Akash Singh, who, if you're familiar with Andrew Schultz's podcast, he's the co-host of Flagrant 2. And then we've got Clayton English. Who's on the 85 South show and One Last Comic Standing. And then we have James Zadomian, which is going to be super fun.
Tim, you love James, right?
Yeah.
You guys are voices.
And we got a couple really good like specialty shows. We're doing one called Boast Rattle, which is, it's like roast battle, except for it's all compliments. It's a competitive compliment competition.
That's really fun to watch.
It is harder to do, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. It's so weird and it's really, really cool.
Yeah, so this is literally the flip of roast battle.
Yeah, Matt Richards is going to do a show called Abracadam. Mm-hmm. And if you ever see or have that HQ Trivia app, he's the host of that. But he's a really funny comic and he has a magic act, which is just insane. We're really excited to have that down. We had... The last festival we had a magic show with Harris Greenbaum, but
man, he was
so fun, yeah. And people really responded to it.
our Saturday at the Earl is like packed, and usually, so we have the magic show, and then last time we had what do we have, music, but this time we'll have the boast rattle, and then we'll have the headlining shows. And that magic show really like kicked. I was like, I mean, I knew it was going to be good, but it was just really like sharp and fun, funny, and like, and I'm glad.
And a venue like the Earl, it's like, it's so intimate, and like everyone's kind of involved with it. And he does a lot of stuff with the crowd. Matt Richards does. We tried to get him on, but we just couldn't get the schedule worked out for you guys. But it's going to be a ton of fun. Yeah. And then we also have like 50 comics from all over the world that come in for the weekend, and we do shows at the Midway. We have this big tent in the back we set up for like a big show. We do the Earl, Argosy, and that Brigantine, the back room, 529 bar. And then we also Emerald City Bagels, that really cool bagel shop.
Oh, they're the best.
They shut it down and turned to a speakeasy for us for two shows, and they'll have a bar. And then they're also doing, they're going to be selling pizza bagels, which is not a menu item. They make it special for us. And they're doing like all fresh bagels with all their bagels. And they make a whole menu out of that with pizza bagels, a bar. It's so much fun.
That was one of the shows I was most worried about 2 years ago, because it's like, I love the shows in non-standard venues like that, because people that are there, they're there for comedy. No one's going to Emeralds for a comedy show and then also not paying attention. It's like everybody... And we set it up really nice. It's like small, you know, intimate, like setup, like 30, 40 chairs. But it was every show was just like killer. It was really fun. That's why it's like we have those little venues like that. And it's all in East Atlanta Village. So 2 years ago was the first year, I think, that Mike probably agrees, like that we actually had a little bit of fun, because usually we're like so miserable because it's just thrown. It's like such a, you know, sprint once we get to like all those, still do a bunch of work leading up to it. But 2 years ago is when we really figured out like showcase passes and the VIP passes, staggering the show times and show ends, where, you know, we're like, this group's going to come out of here, they're going to go there. And it really felt like a festival instead of like a lot of comedy festivals, I feel like, are just a compilation, like a bunch of shows in a city. But this is literally on the same block. You got a pass, you just pop in and out of shows. And so really, I think we really figured it out, the formula to make it.
See, I like that. I used to go to music showcases every once in a while for college radio. And if you would go to New York and stay at that hotel in between the old World Trade Center, that hotel, something happened to it. It's gone. But when, you know, you would have to get on a train or take a cab, and everything was all over the place. So I like this. Same thing with Dragon Con, all in one place. You're not going all over the city.
Yeah. And this year we're doing all of our parties are going to be on site too. So we're doing Thursday night, there's no shows. It's just like the opening night party on the patio of Argosy. So we have like that whole front big giant patio, and there's gonna be food and drinks, and you know, people can pick up their badges, merch, whatever they want. And all the comics will be there, which is it's kind of like an opening party. And then in the Brigantine in the back on Saturday night is, if you buy a pass, a showcase or a VIP pass, you can come to the after party, which is going to be the end of it. And we're going to have like all kinds of crazy shit going on in there. And again, free booze, free food. And you can't buy a ticket to that. The only way is if you have a badge, like you have to buy a pass, which is still a couple. There's still a few left. So
how much are they, and where can people get them?
They range from 30 to 100 bucks. Just depends on which kind you want. And it's all at redclaycomedy.com. Okay. But it's all spelled out right there. And the VIP, yeah, you get to see every headliner, every showcase, plus the parties, free merch. It's a real good time.
Showcase one is at 30. You can see the showcase shows, not the headliner shows, which are fun too, because, you know, you see some of the best. So there's like a good, the price point for whatever budget. And we'll have like some drop-ins for sure that we can't really, we can't mention because we can't confirm them, but there's some people that'll pop in that are in town. That's what's great about Atlanta, is there's always like talented comedians in here shooting something, and they'll just like, you know, they're junkies for stage time. So we're going to have some fun.
We can't tell you who's going to be this year, but in the past, we can tell you it's been crazy, crazy drop-ins like Bobcat Goldthwait, Dave Koechner, Eric Andre. Yeah, or people that are live here part-time now too. Yeah. So there's always a good pool of people to pick from. I think Eric Andre's dropped in like 3 out of 6 years or something like that.
Maybe Bill Burr will show up.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Nah, he won't be.
I'll tell you right now, it will not be Bill Burr.
Yeah, let's keep talking about some more of the people that are going to be here. I know it's friend of the.
Have you ever seen James Adomian? I know Tim's familiar with him.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with James Adomian?
Yeah, his impressions are the best.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, he's like, yeah, his impressions are incredible, but he's just like the most talented comic I've ever met in my life. I mean, he's like somebody you'd build in a lab if you were going to build a comic. he can do anything comedically, and it's amazing. It's like to have him around. He's gonna, you know, have his headline show is at 529, which it's a great venue. It's like, since they renovated it, it's like I did a show there with Shane Torres and like a couple months ago, and it's amazing for comedy now, like, and for music obviously. But he's doing his show there. Then he's also going to be doing some of the showcase shows like on Saturday afternoon and night. So there's a couple different ways to catch him. And like, he's always fun to have around. Clayton English is, you know, we had Sam J, but she had to pull out. She had to cancel her entire fall tour because she got a big part in a huge movie. So I can't be like, what's your priorities? And don't answer the obvious answer.
Right.
So, but Clayton is, I mean, Clayton's one of the best comedians in the world.
Some good local comics too. A friend of our podcast, Lace Larrabee, is going to be there.
Yeah, and, Lace is great.
Who else did I see?
And does her husband still do comedy, or does he just ride his bike?
I think he pretty much rides his bike. I think maybe twice a year he'll jump on stage.
I always liked how laid back he was. He was a really good radio guest too, as I recall, back in the regular guys' days.
Yeah, I was thinking about the regular guys today. Like, I had this running joke with every comic or anybody I know, where I would introduce my, like, if I was in the off where you guys are, I would be like, "Hey Tim, it's Gilbert from Comedy and Friendship last year." Like, and every time I did that to Larry, he'd go, "Yeah, I know." he would look at me like an idiot. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah,
wait, just you're saying that Larry didn't have a sense of humor and wasn't funny?
Yeah.
I like it when Michael would come in and he'd sit on the couch unacknowledged. That was my favorite part.
Oh yeah.
Well, that was before or after I got banned from the studio permanently.
I don't know. It was weird. You'd come in and everybody try to interact with you and I don't know. Those are who don't care about that.
I would sit there and not talk.
Yes.
Really?
No, you weren't allowed to. Right? That was stupid.
Oh, no. I wouldn't go in the studio. They'd keep me outside the studio.
Yeah.
And then people would come out of the studio to say hello to me. Like, hey, don't tell anyone I said hi.
Well, you got banned because of, like, you stated the obvious at the Atlanta Improv, right?
I didn't know why until later. I was told that Larry hosted a show and I was hosting a show. It doesn't matter. John Lovitz.
No, it does matter because it was no. He's but the only thing I gave him instruction was he said just don't do any crowd work because the headliner does like, and it was what's his name, the guy from, the Fairley Brothers movies. He's like hilarious dude. Like he was
Harlan Williams.
Harlan Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got really mad that he was doing crowd work because he started bombing. And like that's the only thing he wanted to say. So then Mike was hosting, I guess.
I was trying to be nice, and I got on stage and I said, "Hey, give it up for Larry. He's really funny on the radio."
Yeah. Oh, and that was it. Okay.
You got to make a joke if you know you just bombed. And he was like, "I shall take that too."
You know, guys, the only time I ever did stand up, and I tell the story, and it was terrible because it's not easy to do, no matter what you think. I got up there and I had these horrible jokes I had written, and there was an ice storm. The only people there were like 6 people in the audience and Bobcat Goldthwait. And when I got back to the table, he looked at me and repeated my punchline. He went, okay.
That's pretty good, though. He at least acknowledged it.
Yeah. We were at the Relapse when Bobcat got in that car accident.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is there like a document or something?
Yeah, I was trying to get him on here to come on and promote that. They made a documentary about it.
No, yeah.
I was just talking to Bob Wood about that like last week, and he was just like, that was a big, like one of the many, you know, hurdles It's like, and we had it all sold out. And then I heard this crash and I was like, no way.
Yes.
And then I was like, well, you should have been like, you guys are still doing the show. We're going to just improvise, you know, like you're going to be in a wheelchair. You're going to be in on crutches. There's, you know, there's some improv work.
And then they ended up rescheduling it for what, the Highland Ballroom. And that was the last thing I saw live before the pandemic.
Oh, really?
I think. Yeah. Either that or Jeff and I saw Donnie Most in some play in Marietta.
Dan Weeks. He's funny. He moved out of Atlanta, though, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he moved to Tampa, yeah. Which seems like a natural progression for Dan.
I haven't heard that name in a long time. Is he still doing
it? That's great.
Yeah,
still doing
comedy.
Dan's fun. He's one of those fun festival comics too, where he's a fun hang, you know. So,
if you're looking for a really funny, interesting online experience too, you should follow Steph Tolev with a V on TikTok. She's a pure maniac. You might have seen her too. She had a viral video go about a character she does, like this backwoods.
She's a live act, man. She's one of those Eddie Pepitone, yeah. But a female.
I've seen that video. I'm looking at her now. I don't know who that is. Yeah.
Have you seen Eddie Pepitone live? Like, it's a different thing than video. It's like, I can appreciate him in video, but when you see him live, you're like, this is like an action movie. That's, I don't know what's happening. That's how Steph is. She's really fun to watch live.
Comedy is like a lot of things for me as I get older now. I'm looking at who's coming. And of course, we had a whole year where nobody was coming. But you look and you're like, who's coming? Who am I? I don't know this person. I don't know this person. And then I think, well, I guess I'm just done with comedy. But, you know, if you actually have the wherewithal to go look, it's still there. You just have to accept
it. But part of it is also there's some people you not recognize are like they're sort of Instagram star or TikTok. Some of them, not all of them. So So sometimes when you don't recognize this person who's headlining a big club all weekend, you're like, well, I thought I was ingrained enough in comedy to have heard this person's name. And then you're like, oh, it's like opened up, you know, a different.
Yeah, there's different there's different avenues now where they're coming from. You don't know.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, just look at, James Austin Johnson, who has done Red Play 2 years, 3 years ago. And like, he just was a guy that submitted to be in the festival. And now he's on SNL. He's like the newest cast member on SNL.
He was the first new cast member to open a season like this past one when he did Biden. Have you ever seen him? His Instagram? His Donald Trump is incredible. Not just like how spot on it is, but the stuff he says.
I don't follow those types of accounts for two reasons. One, jealousy. And then the other one is I don't want to do their version. But it's mostly mostly jealousy.
Because you do those. Like I'm always envious of people that can do the voices and impressions like Tim. Like it's such a weapon you can use in comedy at any time.
Well, it's hard to practice. You got to practice. Like I do quips. That's what I do, like, real quick quips. And then if I have to do a conversation, I lose it. So I had to prank somebody last night as Kirby Smart. And
really?
You know, I do him on the show very briefly. You know, dude, now you got to go out and chop wood, and we got a guy here, and he's going to do good. But I don't know anything about football. Thank you. So I had to I watched an hour's worth of his press conferences yesterday. He says a lot of the same thing. I mean, we're not working from a script. I mean, you know,
we're just got to be elite.
We're going to be leading. I mean, you say we're number one. I mean, they write that. But I mean, you know, we're just going to field and doing our thing, and, you know, and this and that. And they got a guy that's really good, and he's physical, and, you know, he mows people over. So it's just a lot of that. And I had to keep doing that. So I kept it for a while, but normally I don't. And, you know,
go to James Austin and watch the Scooby-Doo one. That's what made him like really like famous, because he was trying to do Trump like everybody else does by writing out a script. And then he realized Trump doesn't do that. He's like, he just talks about what he knows. Whether it's appropriate or not. And then he started talking about Scooby-Doo and like basically what's her name,
Kristen Wiig saw his videos.
Kristen Wiig saw and showed it to Lauren, and he's like, let's have him come in next, because
get him on the show.
I've known him for like 7 years, and I didn't even know he did impressions till like 2 years ago. Like he did one in front of me one time of Rory and somebody else, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then finally, a year later, he's like the most talented person in voices out there. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
You guys are going to watch the Georgia game today, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
I am.
I'm so pumped.
Mike's not. Mike's, okay. Mike looks like he plays for Georgia. I look like I could be a kicker, man. Stalker guy, you know, Brown. Just got here.
Well, I know last week it was important.
the heck is that?
It's wind chimes.
It's wind chimes. It means I'm hungry.
Fucking you picked the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is my, like, Mike hasn't been here. This is my backyard. This is, like, why I was so excited last year, at the beginning of last year, to rent this place, because it's, like, half a mile from where the festival takes place. I'm like, we can do something in our backyard. It's, like, right here. And then,
where are your chickens?
They're going to come home to roost.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I know a lot of people in East Atlanta, a lot of people in East Atlanta Village have chickens in their backyard. That
I just have roosters. The biggest asshole animal on the planet, just every morning.
And no fucking.
We get it. It's morning.
All right. So let's, before we wrap it up, let's reset. It's a fucking dumb radio term. You can tell that I'm tired. Let's just say Red Clay Comedy. Jeff, go ahead.
RedClayComedy.com for tickets and all the info on who's going to be performing.
November 4th through the 6th, 2021 in East Atlanta Village. That's my birthday. I'm going to be there. All 3 days are my birthday. I celebrate all month.
Happy early birthday. I will forget come the weekend. But.
And congratulations on little Gilbert.
Thank you.
And that would be so weird if that were. We hadn't talked about it earlier. Well, so I'm talking about myself.
Gilberts are cool. Michael, are you going to stop by the station to promote or to see us when you're in town?
I hope so. If Eric still likes me.
I don't know why he wouldn't like you.
No, I know.
Have you talked to him or anybody?
I still talk to Greg and Autumn. But he doesn't reply to my text hardly, which I understand is a pretty usual.
I've known him for 20 some years. He doesn't reply to mine either, so don't worry about it.
But I take it personally.
So do I.
So I usually just hit up
Greg,
Yamamoto.
Oh, Jared. So I'll tell him. Yeah.
Jared's got bodies somewhere.
Yeah, he does.
No, nobody has that smile and personality without some real deep, deep, dark issues.
Where's Jared? Do I know this Jared?
He's a producer. Yeah, showrunner.
Great guy.
He is.
He's just so happy.
Makes great guy. You like had to say that. Great people guy, who, though, in case he's not a murderer.
People who are never happy hate people who are always happy. And there's no in between on that. And I know people who are miserable. It's like, I fucking hate that guy. I'm like, why? He's always smiling. Oh, okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. He's always smiling.
Was that your Greg impression?
No.
I was fucking smiling.
No. If I were talking about Greg, I would have done my Greg impression.
Those bells, you know what that means. It's time for a prize round.
Oh, God. Spin the wheel. Hey, we got Call It Over Ted ready to go. Okay, coming up on it. You know what they call me? They call me a guy who'll go anywhere the wind blows, and the wind is blowing my way. So buy my book, turn on my show later. All right, ending on a happy note. Guys, thanks for coming on. Best of
thanks
luck.
For having us.
I would like to come down on that Friday night or Saturday night if available.
Well, yeah, you know where to get tickets, Tim.
Come down. I think we'll be scrounging you up some.
Gilbert Lawan and Michael Albanese. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks pals.
Try again.